You're listening to a podcast from the RSA. You can find out more about RSA events and projects and how to get involved with the fellowship by visiting our website, thersa.org.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to the Self-Employment Summit. I'd like to pay special thanks to our sponsors, Google and Etsy, and without whom we wouldn't be able to make the day what it's going to be. And both organisations have been extremely supportive of our work. Etsy in particular for our research on self-employment, led by my colleague Ben Dellert, who you will hear from later, and Google for our work on social mobility and the internet. Watch this space on that one. And a final thank you to Moo.com for printing the fancy flyers that I'm sure many of you are in awe of. Since 2000, there has been a 30% increase in the number of people who work for themselves, with the result that the self-employed now form 15% of the workforce. Such is the magnitude of the phenomenon that self-employment accounted for around 90% of all jobs growth during the recessionary years of 2008 to 2013. And in fact, on current growth rates, the RSA predicts that the self-employed community may eclipse the size of the public sector workforce maybe as soon as 2017 or 2018. There was definitely one or two cheers down there. So that's really that would be a key moment to observe and grab hold of. The numbers are only start of the story. We're interested in the people behind the numbers. The fintech entrepreneur in Silicon Roundabout, the shopkeeper in rural Wales, the retired taxi driver in Birmingham, the part-time artist in Manchester. The self-employed vary in their business styles, their aspirations, their growth ambitions, which is exactly what you'd expect from a community of 4.3 million people. The one thing that does bind them together is that they're in search of what we term the power to create. That's the ability to turn our ideas into reality and more broadly to become authors of our own lives. And if you can't see that in the motivations behind much of self-employment, then you won't be able to see it pretty much anywhere. But there are risks too. The risk that the market may collapse and you will have no clients. The risk of falling ill without sick pay. The risk of becoming pregnant without maternity pay. I'm not trying to depress you, but we've just got to cover all of the ground, right? The risk that some will be forced into self-employment without really wishing to be, or being able to use it as a means to something better. Now, because of its increasing importance, self-employment has increasingly drawn the attention of policymakers, commentators, advocacy and interest groups of various different types. Inevitably, given it this growing importance, it's become more politically contested. Some see it as an expression of a new precariat. Some see in it the bountiful creativity of a new economic surge. As ever, some truth is to be found in both these accounts, and some is to be found in between. And that is what we're here to explore today. Why is this happening, and will it last? What does it mean for us collectively, in economic, fiscal, and societal terms? And what does it mean for the self-employed themselves, their security, creativity, and future prospects? How do we support the self-employed in their endeavours, and in their lives more broadly? This means exploring questions such as, what can or should the government do to improve the living standards of the self-employed? What is the scope and need for non-state initiatives, such as cash pooling schemes or cooperative models of support? It'd be a tall order to answer all those questions today, but we can at least make a start. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Adam Lent. He's director of the Action and Research Centre at the RSA, who placed the debate on self-employment within a context of our thinking on the importance of creativity in modern life. I hope you enjoy the summit.
Thanks, Anthony. I just wanted to take no more than 5 minutes to set the discussion we'll be having today in a broader context. And I make no apologies for being slightly controversial, as I thought it'd be good to get things off to a bit of a zippy start. Keep an eye on Stephen's face as I say some of the things I say. He'll give you the opposite reaction. I was lucky enough to be in the US last week, and I had a chance to speak to a very eminent economist who's worked for a number of Democratic presidents over the years while I was there. He told me that the UK is way ahead of the States when it comes to recognising and responding to the rise of self-employment. However, He said, the US is just starting to wake up to the change. But dishearteningly, he felt, exactly the same political polarisation is happening on the issue in the US as has happened in the UK. The left declare the rise in self-employment as the sign of a weakened economy and growing dislocation in the labour market. The right see it as an indication that entrepreneurialism is on the rise and the acceptance of free market principles is deepening. Now, I used to think that because we had a conservative-led government in the UK, that the right wanted to portray everything that happens in the labour market as rosy, and the left wanted to portray everything as grim. But given there's a Democrat in the White House, it seems that something more profound to do with the intellectual DNA of the left and the right requires these very simplistic responses to this major change in the labour market. I think the truth is the rise in self-employment and the explosion of micro-business doesn't fit neatly into the preordained views of either side of the political spectrum. It's a phenomenon that is part of a much wider societal shift away from the hierarchical, centralised and large-scale models that were so central to the last century and to which so much of our mainstream politics is still attached. The self-employed are both rejecting the corporate hierarchies and elites so beloved of the right, as well as the traditional world of direct employment and standard terms and conditions, which the left is so eager to protect. This isn't just speculation. The RSA's own research with the self-employed shows that the great majority are happy being self-employed. As one micro-business owner said to us, he wanted the freedom to know that when he failed, it was his failure, and when he succeeded, it was his success. Increasingly, across the whole world, people hunger for real control over where they live, the products and services they buy, their family life, their identities. The problem with the polarised argument is that it fails to recognise the great opportunity we now have to take a major step forward in the nature of work. For decades, work has been associated with employment by another. It usually meant sacrificing autonomy and creativity, but in return, the worker got a certain set of benefits, decent pay, a good pension, job security. But as we all know, this contract has been breaking down for many years. Pay has stagnated, defined benefit pensions have gone to the wall, and jobs for life have disappeared. The result is that millions are now voting with their feet and opting for the autonomy and creativity, given that the other side of the bargain is no longer on offer. The great challenge to policymakers, businesses, and the self-employed themselves is to create a new bargain for this growing cadre of workers, so that their pay is raised, their income security is enhanced, and their pensions guaranteed, but without the need for them to return to direct employment and to give up that autonomy and creativity they have seized. In short, we have, if we take the opportunity, the chance to give a growing portion of the workforce the best of both worlds, the security of mid-20th century labour market combined with the autonomous creativity of the early 21st. Of course, seizing this is far from straightforward. It requires a willingness to think in a radical and imaginative way, which sadly seems to elude the majority of our political class nowadays. But that's precisely why we've gathered together this fantastic range of people and minds today to start doing the politicians' thinking for them. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the event.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not download our free app to access video and audio files on the go? Just visit our website, therSA.org, and follow the links to the RSA Vision mobile app.